This is Eddie, Jason, and Chris show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to it. Jason is on the sound effects. He's got lots of buttons to press this evening.
We were all here early, and we still get on late.
On time, sir.
Yeah, we're pretty much on time.
That's crazy to me. It's already fine. Wow.
Well, it's going to be a good show, no matter when you're listening or where you are. We have this band coming up on the show. They're called Teammate, and they are blowing up. I feel like we'll be hearing a lot of this song everywhere. I know he's playing it, so everyone's going to copy us pretty soon. Before you know it, it'll be on Sirius XM Alt Nation. They'll be next. They copy everything we do. We play a song, and then they do it after us. And then after that, it'll be on FM radio, because that's how the cycle goes. We start playing things, and then from there, it may go to satellite, and then FM. Boring broadcast radio will start playing it. A bunch of losers.
6 months from now.
Yeah, 6 months from now. Yeah.
When the buzz is gone.
They can't come up with their own ideas.
They need
us to take all the risks.
How long do you think until the terrestrial radio is no more? Give it a time frame.
You know, the thing about terrestrial radio is, we could talk about this here in a second. I'll tell you my take on that. But hang on, I also wanted to say, also coming up on the show, Samantha Scarlett has a guest. She's going to bring on somebody who is an expert on Robert the Doll. And this is like a toy doll that is the inspiration behind the Chucky movies. Apparently, you know, Chucky with the murderous possessed doll.
The what?
That's based on a true story. It's a documentary, those Chucky movies, apparently. So Samantha Scarlett's going to bring on someone to talk about that and more. And you can follow us on Twitter if you haven't done that yet. It's EJC Show, and we're also on Skype.
It's the Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show. Eddie, Jason, and Chris.
The Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show.
Why are you looking around like you're all confused?
Did I wear a hat here?
I don't know. Yes, I see it on the table.
Okay.
Are you feeling weird without your hat?
Yeah, I just noticed I wasn't wearing my hat all of a sudden, and I didn't know if I had.
You normally do wear a hat to the show.
Yeah, I do, yeah. That's why I was befuddled.
Is that just in case the cameras are rolling? You want to be looking as sharp as possible?
Have you ever known me not to wear a hat? Show or no show?
You always wear a hat and always wear shorts, even in the winter.
You are literally that guy.
What guy?
Yeah, if the listeners didn't get a good sense of who you are already just through your, contributions through the show. I mean, yeah, he's the baseball cap and shorts all year guy.
Yeah. I wear jeans occasionally, but...
No, you don't.
Yeah,
when's
I
the
do.
Last time you wore jeans?
I don't know, a month ago when it was cold.
Why do you wear shorts all the time, though? Is it...
Why do you wear jeans all the time?
I wear shorts in the summer. I dress to the season.
Have you ever tried shorts on a cooler day?
I mean, I don't want to freeze to death, so...
Do you think you would?
Probably. Like, it's,
how do you know?
Right now, when we're doing the show, it's like 32 degrees here, where
okay.
we are. And
sure.
You're not cold?
No.
Are you worried about shrinkage? You must be in a constant state of shrinkage. It probably has shrunken your overall size
Absolutely.
Over time.
Well, my body temperature is always hot. That's why I can pull off shorts. Like, I get too sweaty.
Let's take your temperature right now.
I get
now.
Too sweaty in jeans.
Let's put I have a rectal thermometer.
I don't like having my balls sweating, if you know what I mean.
So you need constant air.
Why did you ask him if, do you know what I mean? You said you don't like to have your balls sweaty. Is there more to that statement than meets
No.
the eye? Okay, then I guess we all know what you mean.
There's more to it, I think.
I'm just saying.
Tell us the whole story.
And before you knock me for wearing shorts
I'm not
during the winter
you.
Time,
I'm
you
just,
are. You're throwing. You're making it sound like I'm a fool or some weirdo.
No, I'm just trying to ask what the
you're like
strategy.
That guy. He's that guy.
No,
who wears
that
shorts.
Was me.
That was Chris.
Whatever.
What's your strategy?
You gotta. What do you mean? I put on shorts one leg at a time. That is the strategy in which I put the short on.
But like when you reach
you ever
for the,
sit on the bed and do both legs at the same
absolutely
time like
not.
A rock star.
Who does that? That's if they're like not the right size or you're trying to get into leather jeans. Well, leather pants, I guess they can't be
or
leather jeans.
Leather shorts in your case.
Maybe somebody could make some.
But what's
talk about ball sweat? Ugh.
There isn't a strategy though when you reach for the shorts. You're not thinking to yourself like, "I'm going to wear shorts today because I need to get ventilation."
No. No, absolutely not.
Do you just not own that many pairs of jeans?
No, I own like 3 or 4 pair.
You just don't, you're not comfortable.
Yeah, I just don't feel the need unless it's like really cold out.
And you don't get cold snowing. Though.
I don't get cold. Generally, I don't.
You want to do the rest of the show outside?
If you want
you
me
can
to.
Wire him a mic out there and see if you get cold.
Well, I mean, anybody would get cold if they're out for a couple hours in the cold.
Okay. Yeah.
Have you ever tried wearing
you don't
shorts?
Get cold.
Have you ever tried wearing shorts in the wintertime?
No.
So then how can you have an opinion?
I mean, I've worn like...
You're just following what the mass media wants to tell you, and you just follow like sheep.
I've worn, you know,
fake
like
news.
Shorts in the morning when I take my dog for a walk when it's cold. Like this morning I had, you know, like basketball shorts on, and it was freezing.
Really?
The whole time I was thinking, Jesus.
Yeah, but basketball
shorts
are a bad idea. They're airy.
Yeah, but isn't that the point, to get air up there?
Did the bottom of your legs get cold or the whole leg?
The whole thing.
Right. Try just wearing normal shorts. I'm telling you, it's liberating.
So couple weeks ago, I did shorts in the winter and just was like out
the
of
laundry
jeans.
Day.
Yeah, and you know, it wasn't even that cold outside, and I just felt weird. It felt wrong somehow.
Like you were going against societal norms.
Like I was going against nature.
Were you wearing? were you wearing jorts?
I don't even know what that is. Jogging shorts?
Jean shorts?
No.
Oh.
Who says jorts?
That's what they're called.
Well,
all right.
You know, why don't
look
we?
It up.
I don't have time for this.
Yeah, why don't we switch gears? So I did briefly at the beginning of the show say I would let everyone know what my thoughts on the state of radio is. And it is, I believe, a dying medium, you know. Well, what's weird about FM radio is that they're always claiming in their own publications, their own trade magazines, industry trades, that more and more people are listening to FM radio than ever. They say like 90-something percent of all Americans are listening to radio. But how can that be possible? Because how are there more people listening to radio now than there were like 10 years ago when there are way more choices? I think it's a whole bunch of smoke and mirrors. I think that they have people do research for them that they pay off. That way they can keep their advertising rates the same.
Maybe
it's
we
all
should,
a racket.
Maybe we should get those researchers.
I know. We should figure out how to do this ourselves. But,
right.
But we're forced to be honest because we can look and see exactly how many people are listening to us. Unlike FM radio, they can't. They rely on surveys.
Ugh, really?
They send out surveys to people.
You like just reveal that we're spying on our listeners. We're supposed to keep that a secret.
Oh yeah.
How have you guys ever gotten a survey from a radio station?
No, I have not. I think they target different demographics than us.
Like old people? What do you mean than us?
People,
we're like,
I don't know, just different demographics. Because we haven't gotten it, have we?
No, I've never gotten
we're
one.
Not, I guess we're not in the demographic they want. But they don't sample that many people. It's like a couple hundred per city.
That's weird.
Isn't it? And that determines all of the ratings. And then by that, they say, oh, there are so many people listening to us. But they meanwhile pay these people to take the surveys. Anyways.
I did listen to a local radio station's morning show last week. Eddie's old place of work.
Yeah.
Man, it was awful. It was so just trashy.
It was just
trashy.
It's not like, classy like we do.
Yeah.
No,
at least we
wouldn't say we're classy, but we're not trashy.
That's fair.
At least we're somewhat entertaining. I'll give us somewhat entertaining.
The EJC show. Somewhat entertaining. Eddie from the EJC show.
Somewhat listenable. I only want to turn it off sometimes.
I forgot it was on.
I forgot.
Chris from the Eddie, Jason, and Chris show.
I couldn't find my remote to turn it off. But anyways, so that's what's going on with that. I thought last week we had a good moral debate about whether or not we'd punch a Nazi.
It got a little truncated, but I didn't want to make a fuss about it.
I thought it'd be cool to have another little moral debate, and we could do like a little round robin on this.
I like this.
There's a new app out there, and it's called With Me. And this app, it allows people to take pictures with anyone, including dead people and celebrities. But more so dead people, I think, is what they're going by on this. And So the app, it needs a 3D scan of anyone's face. I don't know what that means. And then it can resurrect that person in avatar form, and that allows you to interact with this dead person. So say you have like a dead family member and you want to take photos with them, and you know, then put them on social media or whatever. I don't know. Do you guys think that this has gone too far?
I think it's tacky, but I don't have any moral issue with it, you know?
So you what, like, if
who does that?
What if somebody really resurrects Hitler or something, and you know?
Well, you know, that's more on a case-by-case basis. Like, I have a problem with that person doing that thing specifically, not with the technology enabling.
So you don't think it's disrespectful to take photos with, like, dead family members?
You can't resurrect Hitler. It has to be a 3D scan of the person's face.
What if you have Hitler's skull?
What, so you're supposed to dig up the corpses?
Yes.
That's, how are you going to do a 3D scan?
Wait. Step one, download the app. Step two, go dig up a corpse. Step three, scan the corpse's face.
Put your head in a 3D printer and hit the reverse button.
I think it's just step one, download the app. Step two, dig up the corpse. Step three, take photo with app. Man, you're done. But
pretty easy.
Yeah. I don't know. What do you think, Jason? Would you take a photo with a dead loved one?
No.
With this app?
No.
And don't you think if you saw this on your Facebook page, friends doing it or whatever, you'd think less of them?
No.
Not really. I'd actually be very empathetic. Like, if you're hurting, like you just lost somebody and you're really hurting, and like I'm on my Facebook and I see that you've like gone through the pains to like Photoshop a photo with them, like, and you, like, man, that's touching. That is sad stuff right there.
It would definitely make me second guess why
someone would be getting a fruit basket.
It'd make me second guess why I'm looking at Facebook while taking a shit and maybe possibly delaying my shit.
And you wouldn't second guess this person's sanity?
No. Would you?
I think it's a little weird.
I think they're delaying the grieving process, but they're trying to cope with the loss of a loved one.
And put it on social media? Because you know this is for social media. So if you saw people like posing with their dead loved ones, I mean,
man, that is a cynical world view. I don't like somebody just lost their loved one and then they like do like a cut and paste and you're like, they're just doing that for the likes.
Yep. See how many likes I can get.
Is that why you post random thoughts on Facebook, Eddie?
I hate Facebook.
Yeah, but you post all the time.
I don't post all the time.
At least once a week.
Okay, maybe once a week.
That's all the time for me.
But
why do you do that?
Because I feel like I have to.
That instant connection to someone that you haven't talked to in 6 years?
No, I feel like it's more of an obligation.
Really?
I look at Facebook. I'm more of a Facebook lurker.
So you see Facebook as a job then?
I feel like I'm obligated because I'm on there like probably every day checking it, even though I hate it. And I've the whole time I'm thinking, why am I doing this?
I mean, because you're probably bored. And then I feel like,
I guess I should contribute something.
Really?
But then I'm like, why do I care if I contribute something to Facebook or not?
And then what are you like?
To make Mark Zuckerberg a little more rich with free content?
You know, it occurs to me right now in this moment that I might be an incredibly just like self-centered person, because for the most part I'm like, I don't care what people are doing. So I don't care.
That's actually, I think, probably healthy.
How often do you go on Facebook?
Legitimately,
let's be completely honest, Chris.
Man, that's a tough one. What's every other day, every 3 days, maybe?
It's more than I thought.
Yeah.
What are you doing on there? Because you're not posting
on my
anything.
Phone, yeah, I'll get a like a Facebook like notification, like so and so posted something, and sometimes I'll take the bait, like, okay, why are you bothering?
He's looking
me
for
this?
He's looking for recommendations for new porn.
And
sites.
I am narcissistic because, like, I am more apt to be like, oh, there's so and so posted a picture of you. I'm like, let's see it. What thing did I do this time? But it's great. It involves me.
That little.
And then you're disappointed every time.
Nah.
That little world thing, though, with the notification on Facebook, it's just like, I feel like they have everyone train like dogs. Like, it's a little dog treat. Like
a world
thing. You're like, ooh, I have a notification. Ooh, what's happening? What could this be?
I still hate navigating Facebook. Like ever since their last major update for navigation, this was already like, this is like 5 years plus ago, and everyone was like, whoa, like I still don't know how to find anything.
That's true. I still don't either.
It is a confusing website. There's just too much going on.
I don't even use the website. I just do the app, and it's usually like when I'm taking a shit.
Well, if you want to follow us on Facebook, it's facebook.com/EJC show. We do post on there.
Anytime
we love Facebook.
Anytime
it's great.
Anytime
I check it all the time.
Anytime I'm posting something, if I post something on Facebook, chances are I'm shitting.
Do you think kids are listening to the show and like, how old are these guys?
Like when
how
I tell you,
nobody writes a letter anymore. It's so much more personal.
Well, it's good to, like, I can bang out happy birthdays while I'm, you know, banging out a deuce.
You really
pretty
like
good
to talk about you pooping on
good
Facebook.
I'm just
is
saying.
Is that what you call it, banging out a deuce?
No.
I thought you were going with, I thought you were about to say something else.
Mm.
Well, you know, they say that the teenagers don't even like Facebook that much anymore.
Yeah, it's very...
It's becoming
Facebook's
an old
passe,
social media.
Yeah, it's like it's for old people. It's everyone's moms is on it.
Yeah.
Is it Instagram?
That's Snapchat.
Snapchat.
WhatsApp.
WhatsApp.
It's an app. On your phone.
And what do you do?
It's WhatsApp.
Yeah, I know. What do you do though?
I'm not having this. Who's on first?
It's just a chat thing. Okay. Yeah. Chris is right. We're not going to go down this who's on first thing.
Yeah.
This was done many years ago.
Yeah.
We don't need to retread water here. Why don't we do something groundbreaking and original?
Can we do something in between?
Let's talk about Twitter.
How about we talk to teammate in a little bit here and see what these guys are up to. Teammate coming up on the EJC show. Don't move.
All the Eddie, Jason, and Chris show now at 1-888-99-IDOBE.
It's the Eddie, Jason, and Chris show, 1-888-99-IDOBE to call in if you want to do that. EJC show on Skype and Twitter. EJC show, follow us. Also, we're on Facebook. So much for you to do. We gave you a lot of homework right there, I think. And, well, our first guest is a very cool indie band, and they are, you know, kind of blowing up, I think, right now with a new song out. We were playing a little bit of that earlier. The name of the band is Teammate, and they're a duo. We have both on the line here, Scott and Danny. Hello, guys. How are you?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, we're great. How are you?
Good. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us, and thanks for playing Damage. We really appreciate it.
It's a good song.
Thank you so much.
I feel like it's going to blow up, and it's going to be everywhere, and then you'll be able to thank us once you like land a big commercial deal or something. Just send 10% to us.
Okay, how about 9?
I have my thank you notes ready to go, so just let me know.
Yeah.
Okay.
We've been writing a speech for 5 years, just waiting for
there are thank you notes left over for my bat mitzvah, so they'll be on their way.
Oh, good. Maybe that'll double for your Grammy speech as well. Did you guys watch the Grammys?
Oh, yeah. That was a mess.
Would you guys ever want to win a Grammy?
I was thinking of the Oscars. I'm sorry. I was thinking of the Oscars. No, the Grammys were cool. Sorry. I'm a jerk.
Wow. Yeah. So thank you, everybody, for listening to us.
Well, I mean, both award shows had messy moments, I think. But, you know, as musicians, do you ever watch the Grammys and get jealous and think, why am I not there? What am I doing with my life?
I mean, I don't get jealous. I actually get inspired, especially I felt like 21 Pilots' speech was really inspiring. And, you know, they've come really from Ohio, and just like the trajectory that they've had over the last few years is really inspiring. And I think that, I mean, I never get jealous.
And would you guys drop Trow as well if you were on stage?
Danny, I'll leave that at the
table. I mean,
I'm not.
Scott Scott would, I would probably just roll my eyes at him, though.
What is your live performance presence like? Are you guys, energetic, or are you like kind of like one of those indie bands that's a little more reserved? What's it like?
It's just the two of us on stage, so we try to put on as big of a performance as we can. With that said, we both play instruments that kind of restrict us to kind of somewhat stationary position. So it gets a little bit interesting sometimes trying to like figure out how to make yourself look a little bigger than you are. So we try to bring a lot of energy to our shows, and our music is pretty upbeat for the most part. And so we just try to kind of just share the vibe that whatever we're experiencing and hoping that it comes through when we're playing live.
So how'd you guys start? What's the story here?
Well,
do you have an hour?
Yeah. Do you have time? Do you have a couch?
Sure.
We met in
cancel the rest of the show, guys.
We met in college at West Virginia University. We were both marching band dorks. I had just graduated and Danny was a freshman coming in, and we were the only two Jewish kids that anyone knew at West Virginia. So we kept getting introduced over and over and over again. What's that? Sorry.
Oh, Mazel Tov. That's all.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Fine.
Thank you.
And from there we ended up dating for 10 years. And we were both in separate doing our own musical things. We never played music together. We were just dating for 10 years. And then we broke up. And after a couple years of being apart and I had moved to the West Coast to LA, Danny was in Pittsburgh at the time. We just started to like play music together, play some shows together on the East Coast. It was kind of like our therapy. And we started writing songs. And then next thing you know, we started Teammate and Danny moved out here and we've just been kind of, I don't know. It's pretty crazy.
Who broke up with who?
Oh, I broke up with Scott. I'm totally gay, so it had to happen.
So when did you find that out? So that's why you guys broke up for real, though. Like you found out that you were gay, and
No, that's not a joke. That's totally for real.
Right.
I mean, I don't know when I mean, in retrospect, like you can look back and say, that's something that maybe should have set an alarm or something. But it wasn't like an epiphany or anything. We had some issues within our relationship, and we had been together for so long, and I think I did a lot of soul searching, and we kind of just had a lot of conversations and series of just heartbreaking talks, and it was something that I had spent some time with myself just trying to figure out exactly what was going on and what I was feeling. And once I felt comfortable, once I felt comfortable within myself, just like knowing like, okay, this is who I am. Like then I knew that I would have, I knew that Scott and I were close enough that I felt comfortable talking to him about it very directly. And he was supportive from the very beginning. And we talked about it a lot and what it meant to us as a couple. And ultimately we needed the breakup. And after some time of healing and some distance and maybe some space, you know, it was important to us that we maintain some sort of friendship. You know, our relationship was rooted in friendship from the very beginning. So it was really important to us to try to maintain whatever that was that we had initially. And so
I feel like you're breaking up with me right now.
Yeah.
I feel like you're breaking up with me right now.
She's trying to get out of the interview.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
No, the band, this is the last day of the band right now.
Actually. Oh,
no. No, not true.
Well, it's great.
No, I'm just kidding. We were each other's biggest supporters, and so it was a lot of work, but this is how we were meant to be, I think, in the band together.
It's a great narrative arc and mythological origin, but do you feel like it defines now what the band is, or is that just sort of the chrysalis, how you got started? Do you think that is informing the music that you're writing today, that personal history between you two?
I think the, not necessarily that specific thing, but the thing that does inform our music and what we really try to write about and the one thing that keeps us together as a band is that we are celebrating the fact that we were able to maintain our friendship. And for me personally, probably for Danny too, you know, the greatest achievement so far in anything I've done in my life is that we've been able to maintain like a close friendship and not write each other off because of the romantic breakup. So I think that when we write, we do kind of mind the past for some stuff, but we're kind of really happy where we are, and we're curious about where things are going.
Scott, is any bit of an ego boost for you knowing that you were Danny's last man?
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know, she just felt, I always tell myself maybe she just thought, well, I can't get any better than that, so.
Oh, my God, I gotta go.
Or she was like, I'm done with that.
Or, yeah, or I guess it could go the other way, too.
What was I thinking?
Right.
Well, so over it.
Well, that's really cool that you guys were able to, you know, stay friends. I think that shows a lot of maturity, and I don't know a lot of people can do that, so, I guess this is proof that it can be done unless you guys secretly hate each other's guts.
there's some
moments, but for the most part, we're pretty solid.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Well, that's, and I guess part of your new record though is, your debut album, which is out now. It touches on some of these topics, right?
Yeah. We really looked back at some things, but we also just really are celebrating the moment right now. Like we're just, I mean, sometimes we step back and we'll say like, did you think this was going to go how it's going? You know, like, did we think we were going to be in a band? Like this was never the plan. So I think we take that kind of idea and that surprise and that celebration of that and like put that towards the music. So, you know, some of it's about us together. Some of it's about us as friends and some of it's about each of us finding our own way individually in other relationships.
What's the biggest thing that's happened so far? Have you guys been approached by like any movies or commercials yet?
Yeah. Danny, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Sorry. Oh, okay. It's cutting in and out a little bit. I apologize. A song of ours, a cover actually we just did of a really popular Pat Benatar song that we are obsessed with called We Belong was just picked up not too long ago for a super cool and exciting Xbox ad. And so that was pretty interesting.
One of our originals is in a DKNY ad, and that's pretty awesome. Like, just stuff like that's just like a little nice validation to keep us going. Like, oh, we must be onto something. So it's really cool.
Well, that's good. And that stuff. You know.
Plus, it's always...
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, it's always fun when your music is picked up into advertisement because then you get to see, like, really, really, really attractive people just, like, dancing and, like, being really into your song, and, like, they would probably not hang out with us in real life. So that's really fun.
Oh, you never know. Why? Don't be hard on yourself. I mean, we're
hanging... Oh, no, I have really attractive friends. But oh.
I'm quite attractive that I'm hanging out with you now.
Right, you're talking to us. We are the most attractive people in radio.
Yeah.
You bucked the trend.
Well, the teammate's name of the band, and everyone go check them out. The EP, or is it an LP? What is it?
It's an LP.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Ooh.
The debut LP, and it's self-titled, or what is it?
It's called Teammate. Yes, it's self-titled.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay, so I do have correct information.
Super easy to remember.
Damage, we're going to play Damage off of here, which I think is a great track, and everyone can go check out Teammate, wherever you listen to music. Thanks, guys, for coming on the show. Good luck with everything.
Thanks so much for having us. And thank you.
So
we really
much.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Anytime. There they are. Teammate. Here's Damage.
On fire, I feel it starting to start. It's coming, it's coming to life.
It's Eddie Jason and Chris Show. Hello, hello. We have a listener in Canada that is tweeting us. And I'll get his name here in just a second so we can give him a little shout out. But he's asking very weird things on Twitter, and I don't know exactly how to answer him. He says, his name's Simon. He says, what if you have a listener in Canada? And I'm like, well, then I guess we want to talk to you. Hi. Then he says again, what if you have a listener in British Columbia? I'm like, same answer. I don't know what he's getting at here, but I invited him to Skype into the show. And if he doesn't, he doesn't have the balls to come to the no spin zone. That's where the spin stops. But I don't know what he's getting at here. Do you understand this?
I have no idea. I don't know. But I'm sure glad you brought it up.
Well, and there's this little shout out. Also, a shout out to Selena listening and Among Legends, who we talked to last week. They're working on our theme song still, allegedly. Allegedly.
Yeah, of course they're working on it. It involves me. People love writing songs for me.
If I could, if my mouse had a cord on it, I would try to strangle you right now.
Yeah, but if your mouse had a cord, this would have happened months and months ago. So.
Well, let's get Samantha Scarlett connected. Can we arrange the satellites? Do you have her music, Ronnie, Jason, while she connects?
Give me a second. You got to warn me.
Oh. Well, you know what the schedule is. Here she is, Samantha Scarlett.
Hi.
How are you?
What's up?
I'm good.
What's new in your world?
Well, I actually last week was very chaotic and interesting. Last Wednesday, I attended EJC Show's former guest, J.J. Brun, a.k.a. Satan's Art Gallery installation in New York, which was kind of like called Bravana, and it was a mass to bring peace to Palestine and Israel, and his friend Lena was channeling the First Lady of Syria, Asma al-Sayed, and then the FDNY showed up because there was an open flame, and it was very interesting, and then we all went curling afterwards at the Standard Hotel.
What a night. That sounds just like what a night. What a random night.
Yeah, so I know. It was really crazy.
Yo, I did the exact same thing.
They had a flamethrower, and then the FDNY came, because I guess you can't have open flames and satanic rituals in art galleries without a permit. So they literally had like 3 fire engines and like 30 something firefighters to like bust up the art show. It was amazing.
Who called that in? Someone attending that event had
Jesus.
That in.
I think Jesus.
See, there was only about, in the gallery, there were only about like 10 of us actually inside the gallery, because it's actually a very small space. But there were a lot of people on the street watching through the window, and like tourists, like, that you could tell definitely were not, didn't even know what it was.
And you were hanging out though with this guy who claims to be Satan, and you're telling me that a fire happened around Satan, and the fire department shows up and puts it out.
Were you guys doing something?
The fire was part of the act. Like, one of his followers was like burning papers that had pictures of Barbie and like the Israeli Palestinian flags on them in a dish. And then he also had he was blowing flames with a candle and using like an aerosol to create like a flamethrower. And so somebody called the fire department.
Wow.
Well, that does sound like a ghost ship waiting to happen a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, and then later in the week, I did my Bernie and Sid show on WABC thing, and I hung out with JJ afterwards, and we had lunch at the Plaza, and we did a seance with like an iPhone app that has like a Ouija board on it at the Plaza. And then we went across the street to Trump Tower, and had like a Zen moment at Trump Tower.
You had a Zen moment at Trump Tower.
In all seriousness, this is going to sound facetious, but it's not. Your life is so much more interesting than mine.
And I
want to be you this week.
I know you had such an eventful week there. And then but just to back you up just a little bit, you went to WABC, a radio station in New York. They invited you there. What did you do there?
I did an interview and I sang on air.
You sang? How come you never sing on this show?
Because you guys never invite me. I'd have to. I'm not singing tonight though. Like, everybody puts me on the spot. But I sang for them at WABC, and I did an interview, and then
did you mention the Eddie Jason and Chris
JJ
show?
Both came with me. What
did you mention the Eddie Jason and Chris show?
I know I talked about it when we were talking before the show. I don't know if I mentioned it on air because, like, people that, like, my mom said, because she listened, of course, she's like, you didn't mention the AJC show, but I thought I did. I don't know. I haven't, like, I'm too nervous to go back and listen. I did mention, though, when I called in the week prior, I totally plugged Adobe because they were like, and even when I went there, they were like, yeah, it's too bad Guns just left, like, in a like half an hour before I got there. So
it always comes back to Guns.
Yeah.
I know. They love Guns. Like, Guns is like their, and where they, where they actually tape WABC in New York, it's at Madison Square Garden, and there's like other radio stations in there. Obviously Adobe is there, and then there's like, so it's like a, it was like a cool thing. That's like my second time being to a radio station in New York, because I've been to Sirius before.
Think about possibly singing on this show sometime. I think that would be good. Okay. And also shout out to your mom for looking out for the EJC mention. Yeah. So who's the guest tonight? We need to connect the guest.
Yes. Okay, so tonight, getting off the subject of me palling around with Satan at the Vector Gallery, we have on Corey from the Key West Historical Society, and she's like the official representative of Robert the Haunted Doll, which if you ever watch those haunted things on the Travel Channel, you've probably heard about this. It's like one of the creepiest things. It's a doll, it's haunted, and it inspired the Chucky movies.
All right, well, let's connect here, and it's I believe this is Dr. Corey Convertido.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that who we're talking? Okay. We probably will want to say doctor when we get to her on the line here. Well, let's give her a ring here. Go, Jason is standing by. His finger is on the sound effect as soon as we get things going here.
Just tell me when. I'm itching.
Hello?
Hello, Dr. Corey Convertido. This is the Eddie Jason and Chris Show with Samantha Scarlett here as well. Hello, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing great. You are actually on the air right now. We're excited to have you. We were just talking about what you do a little bit and setting you up. And we're looking forward to talking to you about Robert the Doll.
Great. Okay.
And,
looking forward to it.
So the story behind Robert the Doll, Samantha, what exactly is Robert the Doll?
Well, I actually wanted to ask Corey to clear this up, because when I've done my research, there's two different stories about the origin of where Robert came from. One is that a Bohemian servant made the doll and presented it as a gift for Robert Eugene Otto, or that a family member purchased the doll when Robert Eugene Otto was from Germany and brought it back to Key West as a present for Robert Eugene Otto in 1906.
And this is a doll that's allegedly possessed, by the way, just to clear. Yeah.
So why don't we let's like have Corey tell us, like, what is the official backstory on Robert?
The official backstory, and we hate to throw the word possessed around, because I think that has a lot of other connotations. So, you know, haunted or something is fine for us, you know, we're a museum. So like we try to, as much as we can, just disseminate whatever we can that's, you know, that we can truthfully back up with
Stick to the facts.
Our research. And so our research indicates that Robert is actually a Steiff doll. He was constructed in Germany probably in 1904, but it could be 1903. And he was bought by, Robert Eugene Otto's mother when she was in Germany, and brought the doll back and gave it to Robert Eugene Otto on his fourth birthday, which is in October of 1904. Pardon me.
Okay, so it wasn't 1906. It's actually older.
Yeah, he was born in 1900, and we know that the doll was given to him for his fourth birthday. So yeah, it would have been 1904.
Now, is there any truth to the Bohemian servants in the household that were practicing voodoo?
No, we can't substantiate any of that. I think a lot of, you know, as I'm sure lots of stories that you researched before, you know, there's a lot of information that just kind of gets merged together. The family did have servants. They were not Bohemian, but Robert Eugene Otto's mother was Bohemian. So I think that's why some of the stories have gotten muddled up, is because she was Bohemian and she gave him the doll, and the family had servants, and people just kind of ran with some of the details and mushed them all together. That some of that, especially like the earlier stuff, gets a little bit misconstrued from, you know, different angles. And quite honestly, like, a lot of this stuff has only come out. David Sloan, who helps us at the museum, he's a ghost hunter that currently resides in the Keys. He did a lot of the research on Robert for us from an academic standpoint, trying to actually substantiate some of these claims. And he's the one who we always kind of thought he might be a Stice doll from a long time ago. But David was able to substantiate a lot of that through his research, talking with family members and other folks in Key West that remember Eugene Otto being alive, as well as his wife, Anne, being alive and living in Key West.
Now, it's a creepy looking doll for sure. But what makes this doll, you know, so special? What's the legend here? What is being circulated or attributed to the doll?
So a lot of people, I mean, people are really creeped out by him. I'm just going to be, you know, perfectly honest. And they have been for a long time, even before he came to the museum. People that would visit Eugene Otto at his house were uncomfortable being there. They knew the doll was there. People would pass by the house. It's a pretty heavily trafficked area that he lives. So you get a lot of pedestrian traffic out front, and you know, they'd see the doll in the window. It would bother them. They'd swear the doll would move from window to window when they were walking by. So people always had a really bad or eerie feeling about the doll. The story goes that Robert Eugene Otto, the doll's owner, would, every time he misbehaved or he would get in trouble, especially as a young boy, he would ascribe all of the bad behavior to Robert. He would say Robert did it instead of himself. And so people that have done a lot of research into Robert kind of believe that all that negative energy that was being pushed onto what would otherwise be an inanimate object sort of absorbed these negative qualities that was, you know, that were basically transferred from a human entity to an inanimate object. And he's kind of taken on this negative persona. And, you know, for a lot of people have had bad experiences, like I said, throughout the doll's history, even well before it came to the museum. So even the subsequent owner of the doll, actually, that's the reason why she donated, because she was just, she wouldn't want to be alone in a room with a doll. She had a very uneasy feeling. She didn't like the doll's energy and didn't want to give it to anybody else, just for some sheer facts of
context.
Her being uncomfortable.
This doll looks like it is wearing the skin of a burn victim as a mask. It's just the weirdest, creepiest looking thing ever.
Well, it's felt. It's not really that creepy. I mean, because we, you know, we have a termite problem in South Florida, and termites like the material. So there's the pox to look to his face is actually bug damage that it sustained before the doll came to us. But really, he's like a wood wool filler and just like a felt material for his face and hands and feet.
Now, going back to Robert Eugene Otto and his relationship with the doll, he had a very unusual relationship where the doll had its own place, from what my research, had his own place at the dinner table. And then as an adult, he spent a considerable amount of time hanging out alone with and talking to the doll.
I mean, by all accounts, Eugene Otto was kind of a weird fish anyway. He was an artist and quite well accomplished. And people always just remember him as being an eccentric human being in general, not just related to Robert. And, you know, I've never heard the dinner table. That one, I have to say, is a new one for me. But, you know, Robert did have the doll had his own room in the house. Even after Eugene Otto was married, he kind of set up this whole area for the doll to be in and really would not let the wife into the room very often or at all. It was an unhealthy attachment and relationship to the doll. I mean, it was bizarre. I mean, people would just say that he would talk to the doll and answer. The doll would answer him back, but in a different voice. So, you know, it was clearly an unhealthy and unbalanced
an artist,
person in an unbalanced relationship.
An artist needs a mystique, though. Maybe he was just screwing with people.
No, I don't think so. I think he genuinely believed what he was saying and doing, and I think he really thought Robert was alive or had an energy, or I don't know if they were, you know, if he truly, I think that he truly thought they were communicating with each other as a human being to human being. So, you know, it was definitely not put on his end.
But now you're saying that other people witnessed the doll speak back to him?
Well, they would hear him like in the other room. So if Eugene Otto would walk into a room and he was talking, and he would hear other people in the house would hear another voice answer, and then they would walk in and see only one person in the room, which was Robert Eugene Otto and the doll. Always thought that was quite creepy and off-putting.
So it could have been like a schizophrenia situation. And two voices. So it was like a schizophrenia type of situation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, and I wouldn't speculate on his, you know, any kind of medical or mental condition, okay. But it certainly, he was quite well known around town as being a bit of an eccentric. So.
And then, according to everything on the internet, which as we've substantiated tonight, a lot of the internet lore is very embellished and unsubstantiated. He died in the turret room with the doll.
See, I don't know. Somebody else asked me that this week, too, and I don't think so, but I actually don't know the answer to that. And okay. That's the second time it's come up in about a week, so I don't know, to be fair.
So after his death, his wife moved out of the house. She leased the house to another family, and they had issues with the doll.
Yeah, actually, he was so bonkers when he died. Actually, he willed the house to his family and not his wife. So she didn't just leave. He kicked her out of the house.
Oh, wow.
Which I find to be, you know, quite bizarre behavior. And eventually, Myrtle Reuter is a woman's name who lived here. And that's the one who eventually donated the doll to us. She bought the artist house, so she moved in there. She was caretaking, and a lot of Robert Eugene Otto's belongings were still in the house, including Robert. When she moved in and took over the house, and like I said, she was very creeped out by him. She had really, I've talked to her kids before, and they remember the doll being there. They're really uncomfortable. They didn't want to talk about the doll when I called to ask them.
Wow.
About it living in the house, like what they remember. And they actually had some of Eugene Otto's personal possessions still, even though they don't even live here anymore. Myrtle Reuter has passed away since, but the kids still have stuff, and they just boxed it all up and sent it to me one day because they just said they couldn't even deal with having Eugene Otto's belongings in their possession anymore. But the whole family was completely weirded out and felt completely uneasy and a really negative energy. I mean, Myrtle, after they moved out of the artist's house, they moved to a different house in town that had a front porch, and she'd slip Robert on the front porch. She wouldn't even let the doll in the house.
As a curator for the Key West Art and Historical Society, why do you feel it's important to put this item on display?
From a curatorial standpoint, you know, it's part of Key West history. I mean, people knew the family. They were quite well known. I mean, they had Eugene Otto was a very accomplished artist, and he would have art shows down here. I mean, people would travel from all over South Florida just to come to one of his art shows. I mean, that's how well known he was. And then you get this other side of his eccentricities coming out, which, you know, people noted, people remember. And, you know, it's our job as custodians to history in the Florida Keys that we tell stories no matter, you know, what they are. And, you know, Robert fits into that. People remember him. A lot of folks are weirded out by him. Key West actually has a lot of hauntings and ghosts here. So, you know, I think it's our responsibility to tell that story and make sure that's something that's out on display for people, you know, alongside all the other artifacts that we have that are of varied nature. And we just want to be very representative of our culture and history.
Apart from the doll giving people the willies, is anything like malicious attributed to the doll? Like, are there rumors about the doll being cursed? Do bad things happen around it? Or do people just get genuinely unsettled by the doll and by Robert, the man's relationship with the doll?
I think people that visit Robert are definitely, I should back up. Robert gets letters. Like an immense amount of letters, emails. Robert has his own Facebook page and Twitter page. So we get correspondence from people from all over the world, people that have met him and have not met him. And these people, when they write him to apologize for whatever they did to irritate him, upset him, to be the recipient of whatever negative energy is around them. I mean, it's amazing the amount of things that they ascribe to them. I mean, there's stories of, you know, something simple as people are here and they're trying to leave Key West and their flights are delayed all the way home. Or somebody came home one time and found a live bat in their washing machine. You know, there's been illnesses, deaths, people not like directly, but saying like, oh, you know, unexpectedly, so-and-so had a heart attack like the day we got back from Key West. So people are writing these letters to Robert, ascribing all sorts of things. And some, like I say, are so, you know, whatever, but people ascribe them to, you know, a flat tire, to car trouble, to losing jobs, to marriages breaking up. I mean, he gets blamed for all sorts of things.
Wow.
Well, this is certainly a creepy story. I mean, how about you personal? Go ahead, Samantha.
Oh, well, on the web, the internet, I found stuff about how there's been like actual things that have happened in the museum that have been attributed to Robert, such as like him being that like the museum looked like it had been looted, but nothing was stolen. And then Robert was seen like in another part, or found in another part of the museum, and his feet were dirty.
Again, like that, well, the looted part, again, that's kind of the first time I've ever heard that one. There is a story that he was put into a case. One of our maintenance guys who was working for us for, I don't even know, 15, 18 years, he said that, you know, they had, the doll got conserved. It had some damage, and we had sent it off to a conservator because I think two of the ears had fallen off, but we had them. Like when Myrtle donated the doll, it was in a bit of a rough state. So we took it to a conservator. They did the work, and so obviously they cleaned all of the felt areas on the doll, and the maintenance guy said that, you know, he put it in a glass case. The case that Robert is in, it, not only does it have a video surveillance, but it also has an audible alarm system attached to him. And they said they, you know, he's in the case all night, no alarms went off, nothing, you know, it's dark in there, and it's like the camera's one of those where it's movement, a light comes on, it starts recording, so that never happened that night. And then they came in the next day and the bottoms of his feet were really dirty, and he was sitting in a different position than he was when they left the night before.
That's really creepy. So yeah, that's one of the other things, is that people claim that his expressions change and he moves around. Do you believe in that? I mean, have you witnessed it? Has anyone you've known witnessed it?
Yeah, I mean, people claim that his expression does change quite a bit. I've never seen him move per se. I took him to Las Vegas last year, or maybe it's almost 2 years ago now. Zach Bagans was doing a program for, I think it was Discovery Channel or something, and so they flew us out there. So I mean, I actually flew in a plane with him, and he was in my hotel room at night. And I mean, if I would have noticed, I hope I would have, you know, something would have noticed it.
I don't know why that sounds terrifying to me, to be on a plane with him.
Or in your hotel room.
We didn't tell anybody on the airplane. We didn't want to freak anybody out.
Well, this is it's an interesting story, and you know, do you believe in all of the stories around the stall, or do you kind of take it with a grain of salt?
I mean, there's obviously something about him. I mean, he clearly has a negative energy, and he has an effect on people. Most certainly, that's we can't deny that. But I mean, I think just even this conversation, there's been like, oh, on the internet, and I see this. I mean, like, and I'm sure that happens with a lot of other paranormal things that you can do research on. You know, people just take stories and run with it and either make stuff up. And it's kind of, you know, our job, I probably err on the side of caution, because we don't want to, you know, my job is not to embellish. My job is to educate at the museum. And we want to make sure that we're not scaring anybody, but I certainly don't want to downplay his significance and his energy. I mean, he clearly, there's something about him. Absolutely. Is it negative? I don't know. I don't feel that way personally, but there are definitely people out there who, I mean, won't even go in the same room with him. They don't want to see pictures of him. They won't watch videos of him on YouTube. I mean, they really truly feel something horrible when confronted with just the idea of Robert. So I think everybody kind of feels their own way for whatever their own reasons.
So the curse extends out to just like, or the alleged curse extends out to like watching videos of him on YouTube or looking at pictures.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people constantly are writing saying, oh, I'm sorry, I watched this video of you last night on YouTube. I'm so sorry. Something happened. I mean, people, like I said, he has people write to him from all around the world. I mean, in physical letters, like there was, you know, people in this one Indonesia that, I mean, we were getting a letter almost every single day from Indonesia for probably like a 3-4 month run. We get a letter from some one person every single day apologizing to him because she felt that she had done something wrong. She never met him. She watched
videos of him on YouTube
and, you know, that was it.
I actually found one of these letters. It says, "Dear Robert, please forgive my friend for not asking your permission before taking your picture. He is Japanese and did not understand, so please accept his apology. I really enjoyed visiting you." So you get letters like this all the time, huh? They're all over Google.
Oh, yeah, all the time. I mean, it's really quite incredible, the details and the people chalk up to him. And, you know, like I said, it's probably a lot of people have never met him. It's just looking at photos and videos and reading histories on YouTube or, you know, any internet source. And then there are people that come visit and they're, so, I mean, people, there was a great article in the paper, it's probably about like 4 years ago now, that these people went to see Robert during the day and they both got arrested that night because they were, you know, they're fighting in their hotel. So it was a great front page, like, Robert the dog causes domestic, you know, abuse or domestic violence. Some hotel.
I blame everything, you know, that
he gets blamed in our
life
press
on that dog, yeah.
Down here.
I wonder if I need to write him an apology letter because I was supposed to fly to Arizona on Friday night and then like go to the Red Hot Chili Peppers concert and do a Snapchat thing for Dolls Kill Clothing. And the Red Hot Chili Peppers concert ended up getting canceled like the day before. So maybe.
And you were researching Robert the doll around that
time. Yeah, because I was. I honestly, when the Red Hot Chili Peppers concert got canceled, I was thinking, oh my God, could this be the curse of the haunted doll?
You never know.
I need to write him a letter.
Does the doll creep you out personally?
Me?
Yeah.
Or her?
Corey, yeah.
No, he doesn't. But I just don't. I mean, I'm there to do a job. So whatever energy is around him, I think that it just respects that I'm trying to do the right thing. In terms of like just trying to get his story out, and you know, we want to have as many visitors come. So since I've been there, David Sloan, who wrote the book, like I helped him with his research. We've updated his website. We've updated his display. So I think that I personally don't have any negative effects from him, nor do I kind of feel creeped out by him. I mean, there's definitely, like I said, something. It's definitely something strange about him, but I think if you approach it with respect, it's it kind of works in your favor, and the people that are disrespectful usually end up with the brunt end.
Well, if anybody wants to go see it in person, the Key West Art and Historical Society is where to do that, and you can get all the information at kwahs.org. And then
Or Robert has his own website. It's roberthedoll.org.
Does he update that himself?
Other information. at night alone, we leave a laptop for him, and he just does it all.
Well, thanks for coming.
We have two quick questions before.
Well, you could maybe do one quick while we're out of time, though. Real quick.
Okay. My quick thing would be, you guys should set up a webcam of Robert like 24 hours a day.
So that's a good idea.
Can, like, monitor him and see if he moves or if his expressions change.
Yeah, we've thought about that. Believe me, we've discussed how we can roll that out and what would be the most effective way to do so.
Something to look forward to there. All right. Well,
that'd be really awesome.
Thanks for coming on the show and best of luck with that doll, and try not to let anything bad happen to yourself if you can.
All right. Well, thank you guys.
And
for
please don't fly
it.
In any planes
thank
with
you
me
very
with
much.
The doll.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
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 Well, that is a creepy one.
Yeah. I'm more creeped out by the fact that doll was on an airplane and the people had no idea, because I know I would not want to get on a plane with that.
I'll tell you, yeah. I feel like the doll's just been misunderstood.
No, but you think he's a nice guy? Just
yeah.
He's emo.
It doesn't sound like he's actually hurt anybody. Like, it sounds like so-and-so was
like
found murdered and there was a bloody knife laying next to the doll. The doll was the only one. It was just like, oh, my roommate ate the last pickle from the fridge. Or was it Robert?
I'm blaming everything on Robert.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm going to write him an apology, though. I'm kind of.
You probably should. And what's well, that was a good one. What's next week?
Next week we have the a representative of the Flat Earth Society.
Oh, good. This should be a good one. I'm dying to talk to these people.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
This is going
to
be great.
And then the week after, we have somebody on who's like an expert on the Heaven's Gate cult. So
That should be good too. I'm really excited about the Flat Earth thing.
Flat Earth, I know. I'm excited for it. The only thing that's bumming me out about Flat Earth, like the only thing that could be better than that is if we could have got B.O.B. on. But like I've tried so many times to reach out to his people and I don't think that they really want him speaking about the Flat Earth thing. So we have
At least we have a representative.
Should be good.
As long as we have somebody who,
this person believes the Earth is flat, so that's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay, looking forward to that and hearing his argument. Maybe we're the wrong ones.
I know. Well, I mean, there's like so many weird. Like, there's people that think the Earth is square. There's people that think the Earth is flat. Then there's Hollow Earth. I kind of believe in Hollow Earth.
Yeah, it is. It's just nuts. Well, that'll be a good one. Looking forward to that. All right. Well, thanks, Samantha. Good to talk to you as always. Everybody, follow
Samantha. Good to talk to you guys.
Follow Samantha Scarlett on Twitter, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Talk to you guys next week. Right,
bye. See you. There she is, Samantha Scarlett. Back with more. Jason from
Hi.
There's Jason. David from Australia.
David from United States.
He's now in the U.S., so we can check him out. Oh, my God. He's stateside. We'll maybe try to get him on the
for now.
Dun, dun, dun.
There is a new travel ban coming in.
Yeah. Right.
The Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show. EJCShow.com.
It's the Eddie, Jason, and Chris Show, and Jason is reading up on Trump's travel ban, which is brand new. What are you learning over there, Jason?
I'm learning that there's six countries that there's a travel ban in place for 120 days. But with the new rules that they've put in, that could raise beyond six fine citizens. It'll be harder for citizens from other countries from visiting or traveling to the U.S. overall.
Well, we do have one citizen that is here visiting the U.S. from Australia, David from Australia, and he is in Los Angeles right now. He calls into the show every week usually, and he got in just on time, I guess, according to Jason there.
Yeah.
David in Australia. Now David in Australia in Los Angeles. Hello.
David in Australia, reporting from Los Angeles. I have a guest that wants to jump on and have a quick chat.
Yeah, we're not doing that. We'll steer the show. Okay.
Okay.
So we just want to say hello to you first. Are you still
listening?
Welcome to the United States.
Are you listening to our show tonight while you're here in the
United States? I am.
Okay.
I'll be honest, I was a little bit late because the time difference threw me off a little bit, but I ended up jumping on board. So,
do we sound better
now that you're stateside?
It feels different being in the same country as you guys now. It feels different. I feel more included in it. So. But I apparently did something last night that Eddie told me specifically not to do, and I didn't find it too bad. No worries, Lamar.
So he's in Los Angeles. He's pretty much in Skid Row, and I guess you were walking around at 4 a.m. in Skid Row, by yourself.
I got a little bit lost, and all of a sudden I was in the middle of an intersection with like 100,000 homeless people, and it was pretty full on.
Those aren't just homeless people.
Towards me, and
those are drug dealers and murderers.
Really?
Yes.
Well, they seem quite chatty to me.
And they're also on a lot of... I mean, like, that's just not where you want to be. I don't know.
No. I got that vibe after a couple of minutes of being in there. I was like, how the fuck do I get out of here pretty quick?
Yeah. Yeah. And, well, so far, what do you think of the United States?
Awesome. I thought you guys played a prank on me during customs because it took me like 4 hours to get through customs.
That was us.
You guys had something to do with it
Yeah, we called our friends at the TSA, actually. That was
we
us.
Do have
I got
a,
screened at every checkpoint. I got searched.
We told
I got
you.
Swabbed. Maybe I got interviewed.
They swabbed your rectum?
Maybe you shouldn't try to run across the border.
No. Swabbed everywhere else, but.
They swabbed your pee hole?
Hey-hole, yes, definitely that.
Cotton Eye Jim or Jack, what do they call that thing?
Joe?
Cotton Eye Joe. Hell? That's called Cotton Eye Joe.
Are you kidding me?
Cotton Eye Joe.
Cotton Eye Joe. All right, well, so you're here in the United States, and so far, what have you done?
basically, well, not a great deal as of this moment. So, because to be honest with you, I actually slept through the morning alarm and I missed the bus this morning for the for the tour.
You're a responsible traveler.
Everyone went to Santa Monica, and I missed it. But it's all good. I needed to top up on sleep. The jet lag nailed me. It was fucked.
Well, maybe it was you drinking all night that hurt too.
That could be it. Well, you got to remember, like, I left at 11 o'clock on Sunday and I arrived at 6 o'clock on Sunday morning. So I went back in time. And so I lived the same day for like 40 something hours. It was just horrendous.
Samantha Scarlet Cult is saying, are you an idiot for walking around in Skid Row at 4 a.m.? I mean, like, that's just, not, you just don't do that. I mean, people in Skid Row don't even want to be in Skid Row. And there you are,
but
walking around.
Fine.
How many
sweet.
Needles did you step on? Yes. You might want to get yourself checked for AIDS. You probably stepped on some needles.
Racist.
Why are you saying racist? It's nothing to do with race. It's mostly white people, Chris.
Exactly.
No, I'd say the opposite, actually.
Of what? I don't see color, so I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Yeah, I'm not elaborating on that at all. I'm just going to leave that be.
Well, Chris is injecting race into a question about poor people who are on drugs. And now he's just not even saying anything. He's just being quiet because he doesn't want to broach the topic that he... And there's Jason on sound effects.
I can't get a word in edgewise being
Fuck
quiet.
Off!
Anyway.
How come no sound effects the whole show? Now it's just a barrage of them in 2 seconds.
Shut up!
Don't critique Jason's sound effects.
Don't critique me critiquing his sound effects.
I like his sound effects.
All right, you're going to keep talking to me, but I want you to talk to Lamar for 2 seconds, all right? Just talk to Lamar. He's the security guard out the front of the hotel. He's looking after me. Here you go.
Okay.
Hello, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing,
hey,
Lamar?
Hey, Lamar, how's it going?
Oh, doing great. I want to let you guys know about my film that we're going to still be released.
Nah, we can't do that. You can't just come on the show and start plugging things, Lamar. Do I go into your lobby and start wearing a security outfit?
You're welcome to come, man. I got an opening here for you.
Okay, fine. I'm going to go.
Would you escort him out if he did?
Oh, yeah.
Of course you would.
Charge him with disorderly conduct.
Everyone in L.A. is a star, right? I bet Lamar...
Trying to be.
Are you an actor? Are you a director? What
producer?
Are you?
Hey, let me tell you, man. I stand up comedy for 20 years.
Tell us a joke.
I'm kind of writer director. Got a nice project. And
give
I
us
appreciate
a joke.
The airtime, man. I didn't mean to jump right into the promotion part, but hey.
Give us a joke. Do you have like a good one-liner you can give us? Let's see how good of a stand-up you are.
Oh, I'm not. I'm kind of a storyteller, man. You gotta. Hey, nice drum beat there. But you gotta check
That's
out
in-house.
The story. It's a film called Love Always, man.
Yeah, come on. You have to have a joke. Tell us just a quick joke. Don't be that guy that says I'm a storyteller. And you come on, do like a quick one. I know you got one.
Okay, here's a quick joke, man. Is this rated R?
Yeah, this is rated R.
This is TVMA.
Okay, here's the joke, man. Okay, this is fire marshal. He walked up on this fireman, and these two firemen, man, tongue kissing and going at it, man. He's like, "What the hell is going on here, guys? What's happening right here?" He goes, the firemen, they spread themselves apart. They jump up. He goes, "Captain." He goes, "Marshal, Captain, this guy had smoke inhalation." He said, "Well, hell, why didn't you give him mouth to mouth?" He said, "I did. How do you think this shit got started?" Anyway,
and
it's an oldie but goodie.
Now, do you perform that in the lobby of the hotel, or where do you give that one out?
Not in the lobby. Not even that one, man. I perform at used to catch a rising star, Laugh Factory, the Comedy Store.
Okay. And
Laugh Factory, that's serious.
Yeah, it sounds like you're bumping some shoulders with some serious heavy hitters.
Oh, yeah, improv, man. I've been doing it for a while, man, the improv, you know. Oh, yeah.
What's
man.
The I, secret I, to improv? Is it to say
know,
yes?
You got to go with the flow, man. It's almost like jazz. It's like a feeling. It's like a vibe, man. If you're plugged into the crowd, the energy's there. You got a rhythm going.
It's funny because no one really cared about the question I asked.
Nobody cares about any of your questions, Eddie.
Exactly, and that's the whole joke of the show.
But and you're being rude to Lamar.
Second City, man. I auditioned a couple of times here at Saturday Night Live. Yeah.
You auditioned for Saturday Night Live, but they said no, huh?
You got it, brother. Made you the second round. The competition was tough, man, but I don't give up, brother.
Tell me, well, tell Second me about City, this. Though. That's real. That's
but
legit.
Tell me about this SNL audition. Were you, like, in New York? Did you go on the stage, and were you in front of, like, Lorne Michaels and Tina Fey?
I didn't get that far. I mean, it was...
You're bullshitting.
7 years ago. You did the first round. No, I'm serious. There are different rounds at different levels. But
what was your round,
then? The competition was fierce, but I had a great time.
What was your round?
I was good, man. I thought I did well. I mean, they didn't call me back, so... Yeah.
No, I mean, like, did they come out to where you're performing and tell you that they were going to scout you there, or did they fly you somewhere?
I went out. I went out there and got it. They saw me here in L.A. I do different characters. And I did it.
What are some of your characters?
Oh, man. You know, I do a guy named, I do a Mystic Marvin. He's like a psychic palm teller. You know, I do a guy who's like he's a former pimp turned fashion model designer.
Well, let's hear
it. That's good. I like that. Let's run with that one.
Let's hear it.
I do Chef Boyardee. He's like a Chef Home Boyardee. He's soul food.
All right.
That's good.
Lay it down. Let's hear it. I want to hear some.
You want to hear some mud bones from my, it was one of my older characters.
Do one of your favorites. Wow us right now.
We have Lorne Michaels listening.
Oh, you got Lorne Michaels listening, one of your favorites. Okay, here we go. Let me tell you what I'm talking about, yeah, boy. You see what I'm going to do? I come from old Chicago. Oh, wait, Miss Shepard. What we got here is some good old pinto beans and collard greens, Jack. Pull up there and get yourself a seat there. Get a big glass of lemonade. You'll be ready to... Ready to get you going and be ready to get you go to work, Dad.
Well,
are we live in Australia? Where are we broadcasting from? Australia or what?
Do we sound Australian?
No, you sound you got a regular accent. That's not a distinctive accent here.
Yeah, we're regular people.
Yeah. We're in Denver broadcasting internationally.
Don't tell them too much, Chris.
Online.
Is it mile high or what? What's up?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
All right. Us. Well, Lamar, nice to make your acquaintance. And
well, what's the name of your movie? I want to know the name of your movie.
Go ahead, plug your project.
You've earned
it. It's Love Always. Thanks for letting me get this time. It's Love Always, romantic comedy coming soon. It is coming soon. All right, guys. Thanks. Appreciate it. Enjoy the rest of your show.
Thank you,
man.
Thanks,
Lamar.
Have
a good night.
Everybody, watch Love Always, starring Lamar.
Lamar yes, something. Lamar. We didn't catch his last name. That might be private. I don't know.
It's like Lamar. That's it.
Yeah, Lamar. So, David, you made friends with the security guard at the hotel there, huh?
You're really broadening your horizons there.
I'm just talking to everybody, as many people as I possibly can. And
that's good. And what's the overall reception of you as an Australian fellow?
Fantastic.
Have you tried picking up a lady yet? Because your accent has to kill here.
I was doing a little bit of flirting with a chick in a bar last night, but nothing to, I don't know whether this is like normal, but I was in LA, but I got the whole story of, oh, I'm an aspiring actress and I'm a model and all this other stuff. And I'm like, yeah, right. But, yeah,
no, cool. That is literally everybody's story in LA.
Yeah.
That's what I
like. Everybody.
No, yeah.
Yeah. That's about
everyone
right.
Everyone wants to be famous.
That's why they're there.
Awesome, guys. Like, I can't wait. It's like only a couple of weeks till I'm there, and it's awesome. So, but I can definitely tell I stand out because I'm the only person in shorts and t-shirt, and everyone else is wearing big jackets.
Oh, this is wearing shorts.
Looking at me weird. Wearing I'm wearing shorts. Thongs as well, and it's like everyone keeps looking at me weird. Like, why are you not dressed? Like,
well, what's the weather in LA right now? What is it, like 60 or 70 degrees? To them, it's like sub-zero temperatures right now.
So I went on a 111 degree swing from where I live to LA. That's how much difference.
That doesn't answer my question, but okay. David and Australia.
Are we talking Celsius or Fahrenheit?
Is that a right turn plus a little bit more?
Fahrenheit. I'm doing 111? My best to convert everything to gallons.
Wait, go back. How hot is it in Australia?
It didn't go under, for the 2 weeks before I left, it wasn't under 121 degrees, even at night.
Fuck!
Like, oh, damn.
Fahrenheit or Celsius?
Oh, God. That's fine. What?
You'd be
Fahrenheit or Celsius? Do you think he lives on the sun?
Yeah.
Good just God.
Double checking.
Good God.
You're embarrassing me in front of Lamar, Eddie. So, Fahrenheit or Celsius? The listeners are dying to know. Are you on the sun?
All right. Fahrenheit.
Okay, David. Be safe out there in LA. We'll. What next week? Where will we be? In New York? We'll talk to you next week. You'll be in Las Vegas next week.
On a touring group, right? Like you're in a guided tour.
Is that what Yeah.
And they took you to Skid Row.
No, they didn't. Like everyone else left, and I wanted to go for a walk, so I was like, okay, I'll walk a couple of blocks. And then all of a sudden, this police chopper, like, distracted me. And then when I was looking around, I was like, okay,
never
there's a whole bunch of tents
before
around here. And then at the point when I got swarmed by, like, 20 of them in the middle, and they're like, what are you doing here, and blah, blah, blah. I just said, I'm from Australia, and blah, 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 and they were all nice. And
did you
no
think
one
it was
to roll me.
You're
did
so
you
lucky
think it
to
was
get
a
jumped.
Zombie apocalypse for a second?
It was full on. It was because all the street, there was no cars. There was no other people. It was just eerie. It was just really, really
because people are smart.
All of a sudden, all these people. Yeah.
Don't let Eddie and his cowardice tamp down your sense of adventure, sir. You remind me of a young me in Europe, but you're an older you in America.
Okay, Chris, let's drop you in the middle of Skid Row and see how long you survive just for the show.
I didn't say I want to go, but he did it. He lived it. He survived it. Now he's got a story, and you're going to retroactively criticize him?
No, I'm criticizing him only because...
I applaud him because he had the courage to. I'm not saying I have the courage to, but he did it.
Yeah, well...
Accidentally, but he did it.
Well, he's supposed... He mentioned on Facebook he was in that area. Samantha Scarlett told him to avoid Skid Row, and then I seconded that. And then it goes off over there. Anyways.
Challenge accepted.
That was your advice in L.A.
That was
avoid
challenge.
Skid Row.
Was
no, because he's in hotels
life.
Right in Skid Row. We're like, you shouldn't be outside.
Kind of tour guide
and there
did
he is walking
for?
Around at 4 a.m. in Skid Row with tents everywhere in Tent City where there's heroin needles flying in his eyes and God knows what's happening. How many AIDS did you get?
I survived. So I'm telling you.
So are you going to be with Sam next week? Are you guys going to be doing the interview?
No, he's in Las Vegas next week.
Oh, Vegas.
I'm taking Samantha to Broadway. We're going to see Aladdin.
You're going to be in Vegas next week? How long are you in Vegas for?
4 days or so.
Oh,
4 or 5 days.
Good luck with that. You're only going to remember half a day.
So I'll be fine. Hey. Samantha and I are going to Broadway, so that'll be good. And yeah, I'm pretty much filled up with extracurricular activities for every night. Oh, there's two people walking towards me that look really sus. I'm just going to cross the road.
All right, well, you should walk around in Los Angeles. Nobody does that.
Any winnings that you make at Las Vegas, the show gets 20%.
Yeah.
20%? Done.
Done.
And just one final quick point. People in LA do not walk unless they're on drugs or murderers.
Eddie, you've been to LA like 6 times, and you're like me talking about Michigan.
6 times, yeah, that's a lot.
That's more than you've been in Michigan. You've only been to Michigan once.
Yeah, when you were born.
Born.
Once Eddie's been there 6 times. I'm gonna go with Eddie on this.
LA's not a pedestrian friendly city. Nobody walks.
That's true. I've been there once too.
But anyways, David, good luck. Don't get murdered.
No worries, guys.
We'll see you.
Yeah.
We'll
awesome
talk to you
chat.
Next time.
If you do,
I'll
call
speak to you next week in Vegas.
If you do get murdered, just call the show real quick. Get it on the air.
Enjoy, David. Take a lot of pictures. Wear a condom.
He's talking to someone. Yep. You say hi. How you doing? Oh man, call him back. Is he in danger?
I don't know.
Oh, he's a big boy.
Well, we're out of time. It's a cliffhanger. What? Why are you playing this, Jason? What's that for?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll be back with Chris's news and more of Jason's award-winning sound effects work right here on the Eddie Jason Chris Show. Don't move.
The Eddie Jason and Chris Show. Eddie, Jason, and Chris. EJCShow.com.
Okay, so Jason and Chris Show, and the show's come to a head, and that means...
Can't have sex with your personality, and I can't put my penis in...
Okay, Jason's on sound effects, and...
That one slipped.
You know, you were doing great. I don't know. Chris told me not to critique your sound effects, but these are coming out of left field.
That's what a sound effect is.
Okay, Chris with the news. Here we go.
Actually, Eddie was right the first time.
Aw. That was Alf.
Sorry. Seen Alf in like 30
don't
years.
Don't you remember Alf?
That was Alf.
Not specifically, I don't remember Elf.
Yeah, me like, neither.
Yeah.
What's going on in the news? Let's get to a couple headlines. I don't have a lot of, like one or two good ones. What do you have there, Chris? What's in the news?
Oh, let's just start from the top.
What was that?
I hit two.
I don't know.
Once.
These are interesting, kind of. No, let's do this. A Russian model was held at the airport in Los Angeles on suspicion of being a spy. Former Playboy model Victoria Bonya said she was questioned by officers at the airport, and they asked her about Russian President Vladimir Putin.
This just did.
She said they took her aside after they found a business card for company that produces hidden video cameras in her luggage. She was released after showing her social media accounts. Wait a minute. So the hidden cameras, does she have like a webcam thing going on too?
I don't know, but after I read that story, I did have to look her up. Yeah, not bad.
Yeah, well, meh. Playboy does a fool around.
Yeah, they know what they're doing over there. But held at the airport. But it's kind of weird. You'd think that, you know, since she's Russian, she'd just be let through TSA with no questions asked. But no.
Mm.
They stop her.
Yeah. Gave her the frisk. Okay. There's a growing backlash over a gay character appearing in Walt Disney's Beauty and the Beast, and the movie may now be banned in Russia.
What?
It was recently revealed that the character LeFou, or LeFou, by Josh Gad, is gay.
Is that the candle?
I guess. A drive-in theater in Alabama now says it won't show the movie because Disney quote, premiering their first homosexual character.
I have to say, though, why do we care about a candle sexuality? I just want to throw that out there. Go ahead.
And the Russian government is considering banning the movie because of the gay character.
Oh, we're so high and mighty, we can't have a gay character in a movie about bestiality.
You know what Disney should do? If I was heading up Disney...
And let's
I would...
face it, that relationship is not consensual. Yes, they're trapped at his castle.
A non-consensual bestiality relationship. Oh, but there's a gay candle. Ban it.
Well, it starts with gay candles, and the next thing you know, you got...
You know what Disney should do, though, in all seriousness, is that they should ban their movies from going to Russia and that drive-in theater.
Yeah, that'll show them.
Yeah, it will show them.
I can't believe
the force of Disney is something to be reckoned with.
Yeah.
Why is that shit still happening this day and age? What year is it?
2017, and fascism is on the march. Watch out, kiddos, that Donald Trump's a bad egg.
Yes.
Cursive writing is being taught again in schools after a generation of students who know only keyboarding, texting, and printing words longhand.
This just did.
Alabama and Louisiana passed laws in 2016 mandating cursive proficiency in public schools, the latest of 14 states that require cursive. And last fall, the 1.1 million student New York City schools, the nation's largest public school system, encouraged the teaching of cursive to students generally in the third grade. Penmanship proponents say cursive is just a faster, easier way of taking notes.
No, it's not.
Others say students should be able to read cursive, such as, say, a letter from grandma. And still more say it's a good life skill to have, especially when signing your name.
Grandma, all this time I had no idea what you're writing in my birthday card.
I just like the money.
Yeah, I just took the money and threw away the card.
Yeah. So how do you feel about this, Chris? Like you
still use cursive?
Yeah, you're like one of the few.
I don't use cursive anymore.
Oh my God, really?
Really?
When did you stop
using
cursive?
Not for
a long
time, like right after high school.
I thought you used cursive well into your 20s.
Yeah, me too.
No.
I thought you just stopped. I didn't know. I thought you were still using cursive.
Bless you.
Sorry. Thank you.
Yeah. You don't, maybe I haven't noticed because you don't send me Christmas cards anymore.
Maybe that's why he stopped sending them, because he doesn't. That was like one of your like pillars of who you were, though, was your cursive writing.
Yeah.
It was something
just,
that was.
And you just let it go.
I didn't.
You just let it go.
I didn't like it. It was indoctrinated into me by my mother.
But you
was. I moved around when I was a kid.
From Michigan?
Right.
Yes, actually, around that time. Yeah. And so switched schools, and I missed like the cursive like unit. And you know, when she was in school, like they made you use cursive, and she was convinced it was a skill I would have to have, and she insisted I started to use it so I didn't fall behind.
You know what else we learned, or what we used in school, what we learned to use in school as well in elementary school was calligraphy writing. Did you guys do that?
Calligraphy?
Yeah.
What? Really?
Yeah.
I never learned calligraphy.
We also learned hieroglyphics.
Yeah, did you do calligraphy?
No, yeah, I did calligraphy as well, yeah.
Where's the outrage about that?
I know, what a way. And I remember, like, we even had to buy a calligraphy pen.
It was
required
stupid.
Of all the students. It's like $5 pen. I remember my parents being pissed.
So pissed.
An expensive pen everybody has to buy to do calligraphy.
They had, like, its own case.
What grade was that? Like,
you have to, like,
fourth or fifth.
Like Japanese, you learned how to write in Japanese?
No, calligraphy.
Like calligraphy.
You don't even know what it is.
It's a different form of...
No, calligraphy is the type of pen that you use.
And you use different strokes for...
Right.
Like the... I think
it can be used for different languages.
Is the Constitution written in calligraphy? Is that an example?
No, it was a quen.
It's similar.
Quen.
Quill.
Quill. Thank you. It was a quen. I shortened it, so it's a quill pen. It's a quen.
Well,
see what I did there, Chris?
Mm,
someone appreciate this, please.
Nah.
I'm out here right now just flapping in the wind.
I'm so confused about what calligraphy is.
Just flapping.
And why you would be made to learn it.
Well, why are we making kids learn how to write in cursive?
Because who gives a shit?
Uh-huh, exactly.
Damn, Chris, I didn't know you were so felt so strongly.
About calligraphy and cursive.
I know, like, he's on board with cursive, but calligraphy, I mean, that is... We gotta draw a line somewhere.
Because who gives a
Who said I was on board with cursive? I stopped doing it.
Yeah, but you lived by it.
It was imposed on me.
You, like, looked down at all of us for not writing in cursive.
You
were, like, on a high horse. I remember that. I'm like, who the fuck does this guy think he is? And me, when I was stealing, like, copying your notes from... Man, it was a bitch. Because your cursive was sloppy. I don't know where you learned it, but it was sloppy.
I can't even imagine.
Really pissed me off.
I can't even imagine what Chris's handwriting must look like in print. I can only imagine. I can still to this day picture your cursive handwriting.
It looks so like a second grader's.
I can't even imagine you having a print, typeface.
There's a pen. Let's see it. We'll post it on
Why do people get on me about my handwriting? I write perfectly legibly.
Get the
I've
pen.
I've never understood that.
Get the pen.
Yeah, this is going to be great on radio.
No, we'll do it. We'll move along.
Describe the letters to the listeners.
We're
going to
post it on Twitter.
All right, give me a sample sentence. What should I write?
The quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog.
This is.
I'm Chris, and I love men.
Yes. Because who gives a shit? Chris is writing right now.
All right, let's move along. Come on, Chris. Well, no, we'll post this after.
All right. The TSA will now perform a more invasive, intimate pat-down after several passengers got through security checkpoints with guns. This just in. Those selected to have a pat-down will go through a comprehensive physical screening, which will include more rigorous searches that will be more thorough and may involve an officer making more intimate contact than before.
Ooh.
The change is primarily due to an audit by the Department of Homeland Security, which found airports were failing to detect handguns and other weapons.
Oh my God. So has the TSA stopped one terrorist attack at this point? And they're letting guns on airplanes as it is? So, yeah, this is great. This
Did
is
they
money
stop
well
the
spent.
Shoe bomber?
No.
No. The fuse was bad, yeah.
Oh.
They haven't done anything useful.
Well, they've slowed my progress through the checkpoint.
Yeah, they apparently give people peace of mind.
Yeah, it's a false sense of security.
It really is a false sense of security because if you're
well, how can you prove that they haven't prevented something? It's hard to prove a false. They've released those statistics.
They might have deterred someone from even trying.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can't prove that one way or another.
Well, I guess that's something that will never be able to be proven, like you said. But who knows? I don't know. I just don't like the long lines, and I don't want them...
I don't care about my safety. Yeah. It really inconveniences me. That's what you're saying.
Bombs on a plane, I'll take my chances.
Chances are it probably won't happen on my plane.
Our chances of being in a terrorist attack are so slim. I mean, like, we're more likely to die in a car accident.
Thank you, airport screening.
Why is it so slim?
Because it just does... You guys watch too much cable news or something. You're getting in your cars and driving from the show to home. You're at way more risk than ever being in a terrorist attack.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah. Thanks, asshole.
Well, it's just true.
You could fall off your patio if you wanted to.
Exactly. There's probably more of a risk of that happening, wind picking up and blowing me off the patio being in... a World Trade Center type incident.
Whoa, too soon.
Type incident.
Wow. I'm not even going to talk right now because I don't want to be involved with this.
Which we all know that was George W. Bush flying the planes. Anyway, so... No, I don't know. I'm making that up. Anyways.
Clearly,
I'm just making that up.
Do you enjoy being bugged by, like, the FBI?
Why are you such a conspiracy? You sound like Trump. You're all about conspiracies.
Yeah.
You should probably be liking Trump more now.
What do you mean?
Because he's all about conspiracies. Oh, Trump had me, or Obama had me wired.
I really don't believe it. I was making fun of those people.
That's why Eddie loves my segment so much, because it's fake news.
You are fake news. You have no sources confirming what you say. You just spew shit.
Yeah.
That's handed to you on a piece of paper.
Yeah. Like all of the great newsmen.
You know, do you think newsmen actually do any of the fact checking? No, it's the interns. Yeah. Come on.
Christie's a hired intern.
Be naive here.
Yeah.
Hire an intern or something to make sure you're saying the truth.
I vote David from Australia.
I'll take it.
All right, you guys have to work pretty...
But he doesn't know anything about America. Like, he'll be reading these stories and not know anything.
Unbiased judgment. That's what Chris needs.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be blind judgment because he'll look at a name and not even know what it means.
Judgment is supposed to be blind.
That's great. Yeah, exactly.
Justice.
Okay. Eddie Jason Chris Show. We'll see you next time.
Well, thank God we're done with that.
Yeah, the show's over, so.
Best part of the week.
I'm trying to get out of here.
Mic drop.
See you next time.
I said mic drop.
Get the podcast on iTunes.
I said mic drop.
You can't say it. You have to do it.
Don't you have a sound effect for that? Don't drop the mic.
Oh, my God. He just dropped the mic. That's expensive.
Who does that? What's the matter with you?
I can't talk anymore, but I'm still
What the fuck is the matter with this guy?
He just dropped a really expensive mic.
What does that?
If it can't handle that, then it's
actually,
pretty...
they're durable.
Exactly.
But they are expensive.
Mic drop.
They're meant
Your
to...
mom's durable. They're expensive.
Yeah. And handled by Jason.
Oh. And disrespected.
Yeah. And I'll just
Eddie's
stop
crying
there.
Right now. Why are you making fun of your own mother, Eddie?
Oh, I thought we were making fun of your mother.
No, it was
Chris
yours.
Just had a general your mother. He didn't direct it to either one of us, I thought.
I thought that's always what that was.
Yeah, it was.
I think you always just assumed it was your mom.
Nah, I think it's always been Eddie's mom.
I think it's with you it was.
Ah.
Get the podcast on iTunes. Bye. See you next time.
Eddie's mom.